Good evening and welcome to Cross Creek Bible Church. Merry Christmas to you all. We're here to celebrate the gift. We give each other gifts, the gift. History changed. Humans had no hope until the Lord God himself came and visited us. He came with us. He was called Emmanuel. It means God with us. And we're here to celebrate that. He brought great joy to this world. The angels came and sang and said, "Rejoice, we bring great tidings of joy for you." Please stand and let's sing praise to that.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. No more the sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Please be seated.
In approximately 800 BC, the word of God came to Isaiah the prophet concerning the coming of the future Messiah. Isaiah wrote in Scripture what was told to him by the Holy Spirit. "Listen now, O house of David, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. But there will be no more gloom to her who is in anguish. In earlier times he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on he shall make it glorious by way of the sea on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." About 800 years later, the events which were predicted through the prophet Isaiah began to take place, and they were carefully recorded in Scripture in the Gospels of Jesus Christ. Then the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means "God with us." And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Silent night.
Thank you. Now let's stand and sing in commemoration of that night, O little town of Bethlehem.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. And in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. Fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. Morning stars together proclaim thy holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to man on earth. Oh, silently, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his hand. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, do send to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born to us today. We hear the
Please be seated.
In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger.
Come.
Please stand now, and let us continue to commemorate that night by singing It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music flows for all the weary world. Above this sad and lonely place, they bend on hovering wings, and ever o'er its bellow sounds the blessed angels sing. For though the days are hastening on, by prophecy of old, with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when the new heaven and earth shall own the Prince of Peace, their King, and the whole world send back the song which now the angels sing. Thank you. Please be seated.
And when the days for their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem, to the temple, to present him to the Lord. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God, and he said, "Now, Lord, let your servant, your bondservant, depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way. And the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. And when Joseph and Mary had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. The child continued to grow and became strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
Please now let us stand and again commemorate that night by singing We Three Kings. You know, they weren't kings. They were magi, that is, wise men, but they came to worship the king.
We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we traverse afar. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of might, star of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, earth to heaven replies. Star of wonder, star of night, star of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Please be seated.
By September of 1862, the war between the states, or the Civil War, that is, as it is often called, had been going on for a year and a half, and Americans on both sides were tired of it. They'd had enough. The Union Army had some early success, but now they were bogged down. The Confederate Army was within 20 miles of Washington, D.C., camped, ready to attack. It was the low point of the war, according to President Abraham Lincoln. He had written a draft of the Emancipation Proclamation, and he'd kept it to himself. Then he showed it to his cabinet and read it to them, and they advised him that he shouldn't issue this statement until they'd had some military success. And Lincoln thought that if they were going to win this war, if the Union was going to win this war, they needed a miracle. They got one on September 13th. A soldier by the name of Private Barton Mitchell was with his company, his division, and he was camped on a hillside near Frederick, Maryland. He and another soldier saw lying on the ground a cigar envelope which had three cigars in it. They went and they picked it up, and they found those three cigars were wrapped in two pieces of paper. And on those two sheets of paper were Confederate General Robert E. Lee's battle plans. most likely dropped by a general by the name of D.H. Hill, Southern Confederate general, who was only one of four people who had these plans. They were handwritten by Robert E. Lee, and interestingly enough, you could say coincidentally enough, but I don't believe that, providentially, one of the lower-ranking officers who was working for General McClellan, I believe, who is one of the generals of the Union Army, worked with Robert E. Lee in a bank many years ago. He knew the way Lee wrote. He knew his writing. So when he looked at it, he said, that is absolutely Robert E. Lee's writing. We've got the battle plans. So George McClellan took those battle plans. He sent a telegram to President Lincoln, and he said, we have the plans of the rebels. Beginning September 17th, the Union troops won a battle, the Battle of Antietam, as it's called. It was the single bloodiest day in the entire war. But it was the turning point of the Civil War. Shortly after it, Lincoln issued his Emancipation Proclamation, all because someone found three cigars wrapped in two pieces of paper that had been lying there for, say, anywhere between 48 and 72 hours, more than likely dropped by General Hill. They're turning points in athletic contests all the time. We look for them, we find them. What was the turning point in this game? Well, there are also turning points in history, just like this one. And we can see another one of those turning points in Scripture, especially as it relates to Christmas. And this is not a typical Christmas text. It is Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. It should be, however, a traditional Christmas text because it is the turning point of all history. Here's what it says. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. History has a turning point, human history, all because a certain baby was born in Bethlehem a little over 2,000 years ago. Now from Galatians 4, 4 and 5, we see first of all the time frame of Christ's birth. Paul says here, but when the fullness of time came, in other words, when the time was right, at just the right time, God sent forth his Son. The birth of Jesus happened at a very specific point and a very specific time in history. A specific point and a strategic point. The time was right religiously. Why is that? That is because during the Babylonian captivity of the Jews, when Babylon had taken them captive, they had largely, not completely, but mostly repented of worshiping idols and false gods, which had gotten them into trouble in the first place. They developed synagogues, and out of those synagogues came teaching. They used, they were places of worship, they were schools, and they were also law courts, all teaching God's law and the completed, at that point, Old Testament. So in that sense, they were very well prepared for the coming of the Messiah. The time was right culturally for the birth of Christ. The gospel, the good news of Christ, could be preached now to the entire known world with one language, and that language was Greek. Alexander the Great had established the Greek language and the Greek culture, and it had become dominant all throughout, at that point, the known world. The time was right politically for the birth of Christ. The Roman Empire was strong enough to provide military security and also economic stability during that period. You could travel anywhere in the Roman Empire through a very magnificent system of roads, by the way, which were guarded by the Roman Legion. So you could travel all over the world and preach the gospel, and the Romans paid for the roads, and they kept them up. They maintained them. My guess is they didn't allow potholes to grow to the size of garbage trucks. That's just my guess, but it wouldn't have been a garbage truck. It would have been a garbage chariot, but you get the idea. You get the idea. God's timing was perfect when he sent his son into the world. This is no accident, and it's not just random. His plan all along was to send his son, Jesus Christ, into a dark, sin-filled world, first as a baby in a manger, one who was worshipped by shepherds and wise men. And secondly, from these verses in Galatians, we see the manner in which Christ came. Paul says, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under law. Jesus is God's son, first of all. The Bible consistently portrays him, and he consistently portrays himself as God in human flesh, as fully God. He's coexistent, co-eternal with the Father and the Spirit. He shares the nature, the character, the attributes of God. In short, he is God, even as a baby in a manger. How did he come into the world? Well, he was, as Paul says, born of a woman. Jesus came into the world the way every other baby ever has or ever will. And there was nothing unusual about that. What was unusual is the way it started. The virgin conception of Mary. And what is also unusual is that Jesus, who is fully God, took on humanity and is fully man also. Fully man. He is God and in human flesh. God incarnate, which is ultimately what we celebrate at Christmas. There's a theological reason for our celebration, the incarnation. Paul says he was born under the law. That means that he was born of a Jewish mother into the Jewish nation and subject to Jewish law. Throughout his life, he submitted to all of the requirements of the law. He succeeded where all others before and since had failed. He perfectly fulfilled the righteousness of the law. Perfectly. So the divinity of Christ, the humanity of Christ, and the righteousness of Christ qualifies him uniquely to be the Redeemer. If he had not been man, he could not have redeemed men and women. If he had not been a righteous man, he couldn't have redeemed unrighteous men and women. And if he had not been God's son, or God in human flesh, he couldn't have redeemed men and women for God and made them sons and daughters of God. And that brings us to the reason Christ came. Verse 5 says, so that, or in order that, he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. The reason that God, the Son, Jesus, took on humanity and came to this world as a baby was not to stay a baby. He didn't come as a baby to stay a baby. He's not still a baby in a manger. We know that. He came to grow into a man who would save his people from their sins. He lived a perfect life that none of us can live because of our sin. He died a sacrificial death for our sins as our substitute. A death that we should have died because it's what we deserve from a holy God. And he rose again from the dead to prove that he is who he claims to be and that he accomplished his mission to redeem those under the law. And the law finds all of us guilty. His mission was to accomplish redemption. His goal was that all of those who believe in him would be adopted sons and daughters of God. Now, none of us except Jesus are sons of God by nature. Again, because of our sin. But we can receive adoption. We can be adopted by repenting of our sins, by repenting of our sinfulness, and by repenting, which means, by the way, if you're unfamiliar with that term, to turn around and go the other way. We repent of all of our own efforts to save ourselves because it'll ultimately fail. And then by believing in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. And if you haven't done that already, I would urge you, not just invite, urge you to do it today. That is the best Christmas gift that you could ever receive. So what do we have? Three cigars wrapped in Robert E. Lee's battle plan, laying on the ground in Maryland, a turning point in the Civil War. We also have a baby born of a woman, born under law, born in a manger, a little over 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, as the turning point, not of the war between the states, but of the war, the turning point of the war between God and man. Reconciliation and redemption and peace come through Christ, who is the only mediator between God and man. That is what Christmas is all about. So believe him, worship him, celebrate him for God's glory and for our good. Amen. Now, if you would please stand, and I need to give you a slight instruction first. I need to give you an instruction first. I'm going to light a with your candle. You can see there is a very carefully constructed, specially constructed plastic. Actually, you don't need to stand right yet. Okay. Not quite yet. I'm sorry, but you don't need to stand right yet. I'm confusing myself. So, anyway, please make sure that the candle goes a little bit through the hole in the bottom of the cup. Otherwise, the candle won't stay up, and it'll just flop around in the cup. And we don't want that. We also want the fire marshal to be very kind to us, so we don't want to burn the building down either. So I'll give you further instruction as we get near it. Glenn. Okay, yes.
As it is our custom every year, the congregation wants to give you a small token of our appreciation, both you and Karen, for your service. Now, how many years have you been here? 12? How many?
Eight?
Eight. Oh, it seems a lot longer.
Sometimes it does, yes.
Well, we We've taken up a collection, and Thursday was good enough this year, so you actually get a check. So wow. Most of the time it comes 2 weeks later. Oh, people give later. Okay, well, you can still do that, right?
Correct.
And you'll just, okay. So anyway, let's just pray a little bit before we light our candles and sing Silent Night. Father, we do thank you for this perfect timing, how it has changed the whole world, Father. When the baby Christ was born, that definitely was a turning point. And we thank you for Jesus Christ being our Savior. We thank you that we're able to meet together and celebrate and worship our Savior. And we thank you especially for the service that Karen and Larry have given to this church during these last 8 years. We thank you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Now this ought to be interesting, lighting these things.
while we're thanking, I want to thank the choir. Every member of the choir. they worked really hard, as most of you know. Sheila Bonchek was going to accompany the choir, and we had already gone over the music. We'd gone over the scores and come up with a plan, and then she broke her shoulder and her leg. And it's real, real hard to play the piano after that. And Becky Westbury stepped up to the plate on this and accompanied everything. And I know a couple of the songs tonight were a cappella, that is without accompaniment, but they had to be accompanied for practice, so she had to know them all. And the choir put in a lot of work. I kid them sometimes. Especially kid Lester if he is late or does something like that, but they all put in a great deal of work and made this work, and I really appreciate that. So many thanks to them. We want to thank Becky, who stepped up to the plate big time, and Jessica. We had a song, the quartet, that was an Amy Grant song that you might have recognized, Christmas Lullaby, and there was extra instrumentation needed for that, and Jessica played that on the keyboard. So I'm very grateful for everybody's effort. Now, let's stand, and we're going to sing Silent Night, and I echo Larry. The fire department will still get their salary if they do not come here tonight. So we'll be very careful. Are we all lit, so to speak? I mean the candles. Although it is Christmas Eve. Thank you. Amen, Ruby.
Amen, Ruby, yes. So please blow out your candles now, and you can put them on the back counter, Karen. Is that correct? The back counter, where they were originally, is fine. And then we'll put them all away after that. So now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. Amen and Merry Christmas.